As I said, we're continuing the our series looking at what the Bible says about God being described as the rock. I think it's 3 weeks ago that we had our last one in this series. And in the two chapters that we've read, the whole chapter that we've read in 2 Samuel 22 and then just going into 2 Samuel chapter 23, you've got here in David's own words his two great summaries of his life. As he looks back, this is what David wants to say, how he wants to summarize his experience. The first of them, this psalm that we find in 2 Samuel 22 and also in Psalm 18, we're told is that this is a song that David spoke on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and the hand of Saul. So this is a song that he's written after all those years that he was an outlaw in the wilderness. And then through the early years of his kingship, when the enemies, the nations round about, were attacking him fiercely. But at this point, he's now defeated all those enemies, all the nations who've come and fought against him. And he's now at last enjoying the first period of peace for many, many years in his life. And he looks back and he says the words that we find in this psalm. And then the second one is obviously his final words, the last words of David, his official last words, as he looks back over his whole turbulent, troubled, difficult life. And in both of those summaries, he wants to tell us that God has been his rock. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. You can't read that psalm without realizing that David wants everyone to know that God is his rock. And it's not just in this psalm or these two psalms we find David using that language about God. I did a quick survey and I found at least 12 times in the psalms when David himself calls God the rock. There's another about 6 times when that title is used either about David or in psalms which may well have been written by David, but certainly about the Davidic king. And then if you see these other terms which David associates with the rock, words like fortress and refuge and shield and stronghold, well, there's maybe 60 or more times that those phrases are used, those words are used. So this is a theme that David comes back to in the Psalms again and again and again. David wants us to know that the Lord is his rock. But what does David mean by that? What's he saying? If you were here last time when we looked at Deuteronomy 32, we saw that when Moses used that title for God, when he calls God the rock, he was using it in more than one way. We saw that he used it to emphasize the fact that God is unchanging, that he's righteous and he never changes, and that you can trust him never changing, being eternally righteous. And we also saw that David calls God the rock to remind us of the way that the water flowed out from the rock in the wilderness, how God was the source of every blessing for the Israelite nation. And then a third way we saw briefly last time was that Moses used the word the rock as a place of safety, a place of refuge. And when you read the Psalms, when you read what David's saying, you can see that the way that David uses the term is the third of those. But for David, when he calls God the rock, he's saying the Lord is my protection. He's my refuge. He's the one who's kept me safe through a thousand different dangers. So that's what we're going to be thinking about tonight. The way that David, in particular, thinks of God as his protection, as his place of safety. And David uses this term actually in, I think, three different ways, but they're very connected with each other. And the first of those is that we see that David thinks of God almost as a physical place of safety. So he says the Lord is a rock. He says he's a stronghold, he's a fortress. He says being in the Lord is like being in a castle, a safe place where I can't be attacked by enemies. And we can understand that picture, can't we? In those days, right up until recently, if somebody was trying to build a fort, a safe place to defend against enemies, rather than starting from scratch, they'd often find a well-defended, rocky place, in a canyon or up on a high rock, and they'd adapt that and make that their fortress. And it would be very difficult for enemies to come against that place and attack it. The city of Jerusalem, the city where David himself lived, was that kind of fortress. Do you remember that when David became king, one of the first things he did was went and fought against the nation, the Jebusites, who were living in Jerusalem at that time. And when he went to fight against them, they were pretty confident that they can keep David and his men out, because Jerusalem was such a secure fortress. They said to him, you will not come in here. Even the blind and the lame will ward you off. Because Jerusalem was this citadel up on a hill, and it was so difficult for attackers to get at it. And you remember, David only managed to get in there by a ruse, by getting up through a water passage. So Jerusalem itself is a picture of this kind of rock, this kind of fortress. And you can understand why David uses this picture when you think about his life up to this point. Because the years that he spent as an outlaw on the run from Saul, you constantly find David having to take refuge, take shelter in these kind of places. He hides in caves and strongholds and rocks. Those are the kind of places that he and his men are always hiding out in. If you just turn back to 1 Samuel and chapter 23, I'll just show you a few examples. So 1 Samuel 23, so this is immediately sort of after David has had to flee from Saul and become an outlaw in the wilderness. I'll just show you a few places in this. So for instance, verse 14, we're told, and David remained in the strongholds in the wilderness, in the hill country of the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not give him into his hand. Then verse 19, then the Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, is not David hiding among us in the strongholds at Horesh on the hill of Hakilah, which is south of Jeshimon? And then go down to verse 25. Okay, Saul and his men are chasing David and his men. And we're told this. And Saul and his men went to seek him, and David was told. So he went down to the rock and lived in the wilderness of Maon. When Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. And David was hurrying to get away from Saul. So you've got the situation where there's this this mountain in the wilderness, and you've got Saul and his men coming around one side, and David and his men are chasing around the other side. And it looks like Saul and his men are about to catch up with David. As Saul and his men were closing in on David and his men to capture them, a messenger came to Saul saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines have made a raid against the land." So Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore that place was called the Rock of Escape. So David remembers that rock, the place where God helped him. And he calls it the Rock of Escape, and we're told. And then David went up from there and lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi. And then just straight on into the next chapter. You see what happens next. When Saul returned from following the Philistines, he was told, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the Wild Goats Rocks, another rocky place. And he came to the sheepfolds by the way, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the innermost parts of the cave. That's where David and his men are hiding out. And David spares Saul's life. But you just see the way that all through that period, David is moving from one place to the other, from one cave to one stronghold to the other. That's been David's life. Right up until the time when Saul becomes king. And so there's no surprise, is there, that when David looks back and thinks of the way that he's lived in those caves, those strongholds, those rocky places, that he naturally uses that thought of God as a safe place, as a rock of refuge. So that's the first idea, a physical place of safety. But then a second picture that David uses, again connected, is he thinks of a rock as a safe high place, a place that's out of the reach of swirling waters or miry mud. So a safe place to stand. So for instance, Psalm 40 verse 1, another one of David's psalms. He says this, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure." He used that language in Psalm 18 or 2 Samuel 22, whichever you like. So this is just reading from Psalm 18, verse 16. "He sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." So David says, the Lord's drawn me out of the waters. I was drowning in the waters, but the Lord's brought me out and he set me on a broad place, a place where I can stand safely. You see that again, say in verse 31 to 33. "For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God?" Verse 33. "He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights." So again, the idea of standing in a safe place on the heights, out of reach of danger. And then again in Psalm 18, verse 36, "You gave me a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip." And then one more example on this, Psalm 61. And in Psalm 61, it's interesting because you get both these pictures connected together. The idea of God as a safe, high rock, and the idea of God as a fortress. So this is 61 verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. And then the next verse in Psalm 61 gives you a third connected picture. David says this, let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. So the third connected picture is the idea of a rock as a place of shelter, of shade. So you can imagine if there's a furious storm or driving rain, then or hot sun, then a rock gives you shelter against those things. And that's another picture that David uses again and again. So Psalm 27 verse 5, for instance, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. See how David again uses that idea of a shelter and of being high on a rock in a safe place. And then one more example of this in Psalm 91, which doesn't actually say it's by David. All the other examples I've given you have, but this is certainly about a king, I think, dwelling in Jerusalem. And it starts like this: he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And then you'll see he goes on to talk about taking refuge under his wings, which actually takes us back to Deuteronomy 32, if you were here last time, where the Lord's pictured as well as a rock, as a bird protecting Israel. So can you see, these are all three different angles of the same picture. David's saying, the Lord for me is a place of safety. He's a fortress in which I'm defended from my enemies, and then my enemies can't get in to attack me. And the Lord is a safe place, a high place, a high rock, out of the reach of the swirling waters, a place where I can stand safely. And the Lord is a shelter to me. He's keeping me safe from the burning heat of the sun or the raging tempest. It says, in all those ways, the Lord has been a place of protection and safety. And when David writes the psalm we read at the beginning, David is living in a place now which physically is like that. He said Jerusalem was a fortress. It's all three of these things. It's a fortress, a mountain fortress, but it's also a high mountain. So when David's living there, he has shade from the rock and the sun. And when he looks around, remember, he's been delivered from his enemies. And enemies are often pictured as a swirling sea. So David's been lifted out of all the sea of the hatred of his enemies and is in a safe place. But when he looks around at him, at Jerusalem, the place he's living in, he doesn't say, I'm safe because I live in Jerusalem, because I'm in a fortress. That's what the Jebusites thought, didn't they? Well, David's no Jebusite. What gives David his great security is that when he's living there in Jerusalem, he's living there with God. God is dwelling there beside him. He's there in the tent that David has pitched next to his house in Jerusalem. David looks around and he says, I'm secure not because I live in a fortress, but because I live with the Lord. The Lord is my fortress. And you can see that because David expresses this trust and confidence in God, not just at times like this, when he's at peace and when he's defeated his enemies, but he speaks in this kind of language. He trusts in the Lord through times of great danger as well. Do you remember that occasion when David and his men come back to the place where they've been living in the town of Ziklag, and they find that raiders have come and they've burnt the town to the ground and they've stolen all their possessions and they've taken away their families. All their wives and children have been kidnapped, and as far as David and his men can see, they've lost everything. Well, how does David react in a situation like that? Well, we're told, this is 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. We're told that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You see, here's David in a time of appalling suffering, and when he seems to have lost everything, and he finds strength in the Lord. Even then, he's saying, the Lord is my rock. He's the one where I'm going to find my strength and help. And one more example of that. Psalm 31. This is a psalm in which David is in trouble again. And what does he say? He says, in you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Can you see? He's in danger. He needs to be rescued. He's calling out to God for help. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and fortress. For your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. So that's David. He trusts in the Lord, not just in times of ease and security and peace, but that's been his continual attitude all through the times of suffering and difficulties and problems. Well, that's David, and we could admire his faith, can't we? And we can say, wasn't David's faith tremendous? But how are we going to apply this to ourselves tonight? Well, I really just want to make one application, one simple point for us tonight, and it's this, and that we really can trust God whatever situation we're in, and however intractable, however difficult our problems seem. I think as Christians we have a bit of a tendency to look at ourselves and to think that our problems, our difficulties, are actually worse than everybody else's, are different from everybody else's. And it's natural, because there are problems. We look at other people and we can see they're in difficult situations, and we say, yep, they should trust God. They can trust God. I can see that God will help that person in their difficult situation. Yes, God is trustworthy. They should put their trust in him. But then we look at ourselves and we say, but my situation is different. You know, those people, they're not married to the husband that I'm married to. He's more difficult. Or my situation at work is unique. I can't see any way that my problems there could be solved. You might say, my marriage seems beyond hope. How can I trust God in that situation? You know, I can't control my children. It's too late. How can I trust God with that? My health is falling apart. How can I trust God? How can I call him a shelter? You know, if I only have a few months to live. whatever it is. It's very easy in theory, isn't it, to say that we can trust God, we should trust God, but to actually do it for ourselves when we're in difficult and painful situations is a difficult thing to put into practice. However much we believe in theory that he's trustworthy, actually trusting God for ourselves in difficult situations, we find it hard. And I think that's where David can help us. Because the fact is that none of us have problems or difficulties which are unique or more overwhelming than anyone else in history. Let's just think about David for a bit, because pretty much any problem, any difficulty that you have in your life or that I have in my life, David almost certainly had that kind of problem. Just think for a moment about what David actually went through in his life. So first of all, some of us face physical dangers, don't we? But I don't think anyone here has faced the kind of physical dangers that David went through. So even when he was a teenager, he was having to fight off lions and bears in order to defend his sheep as a shepherd. And then while he was still young, he went down into that valley to face Goliath on his own, a huge enemy. That was just the start of his career as a soldier. After that, David was in scores, maybe hundreds of battles. Now, if you just think about the statistics, the sheer statistics, any soldier who fights in hundreds of battles, well, it's statistically a miracle that David died of old age, isn't it? Because it wasn't just battles. There were times when people tried to kill him there and then. Do you remember Saul twice picks up a spear while he's there sitting next to him and tries to pin David and kill him? And David managed to escape those things. He's been within inches of death so often. And then think about those years when he was on the run. I'm an outlaw in the wilderness. There were the times when he was going hungry because he didn't have enough food. There were times when he had nowhere to stay. Just the physical dangers that David faced in his life are so huge. So if we face something that's difficult and dangerous physically, can we trust God in that situation? Well, David did. What about property? Do you ever fear losing your property? What would you do if your house burnt down? Well, that happened to David more than once. Remember the time he has to flee from Saul. He leaves behind everything he owns. He goes out penniless as an outlaw. He only has the clothes he's wearing. He doesn't even have any weapons with him. And then we thought about the time when he and his men come back to the town they've been living in the Philistine country, the town of Ziklag, and they find that everything's just been burnt down and razed to the ground. He's lost everything. And again, he's in great physical danger because we're told that his men are so angry with him that they're about to stone David to death. What have you lost? What are you in danger of losing? Well, David lost everything. And we're told that he strengthened himself in the Lord, that he found the Lord to be his refuge then. What about family problems? Well, David's family problems are enough to keep any counsellor occupied on their own just with David. He went through appalling family breakdowns, didn't he? His first wife, first of all, he had to leave her behind when he ran for his life. And she was married to another man. Eventually, She came back to him when he became king, but she became cold and withdrawn from him, and their relationship broke down completely. David, as you remember, fell into that appalling sin of adultery. His son, one of his sons, raped one of his daughters. And then that son was murdered by another son, Absalom. That son Absalom became a traitor to his father, incited a rebellion against him, raped all of David's concubines in the sight of all Jerusalem. Appalling, terrible, and family situations that David went through. Even as he lay dying, his sons were trying to line up to grab the throne. Just the pains that David went through in his family situation, through his life, are more than most of us will ever have to face, thank God. But how did he survive through that? Well, David tells us, doesn't he? He says, the Lord, through all those situations, was my rock. He was my refuge. He was my place of safety. When I found that I couldn't rely on anyone else, when I couldn't rely on my own family, I found safety and refuge with the Lord. David went through terrible emotional and psychological suffering. He thought about his family situations. Do you remember the time when he flees to the court of the Philistine king Abimelech, and they don't trust him? So he ends up having to fake being a madman and tear at the door and let his mouth foam. He's betrayed not just by his family but by his closest friend. Do you remember his closest advisor betrays him and turns to his son? When he becomes king, he's constantly under pressure because all these nations around, just they hate the Israelites. They keep on attacking them. Enemy after enemy, army after army attacks his country, and he has to go out and fight against one enemy after another. And then, of course, it's not just nations outside. When Absalom betrays him, then he sees the whole country breaking up into civil war, and brothers, fellow countrymen fighting against each other. Even at the best of times, he finds his allies are difficult people, people who do foolish things, who murder other people, and he can't bring justice to them. Just those things that David had to go through. He goes through bereavements. Some of us find those are some of the most difficult times in our lives, isn't it? When we lose people that we love, who've been very close to us. Well, David went through the death of his closest friend, Jonathan. Do you remember how much he was grieved by Absalom's death, despite his treachery? David went through bereavements in his own family and his friends, and those caused him huge pain. And how does he come through that? He finds strength in the Lord. And then David, as the result of his own folly, his own sin, his own wickedness, and the fact that those things not only bring disaster to him, but they bring disaster to his country. And because of his sins, his family breaks up. Because of his sins, he brings plague on his country, civil war, the death of the infant son that Bathsheba bears to him. David went through those times of huge spiritual backslidings, foolish actions, And how does he get through those? Again, it's by coming back to the Lord, isn't it? By finding forgiveness and grace and help in those times of trouble. And then even at the end of his life, this man has been so strong, so powerful. We read about him as an old man, and we see him feeble with old age, his mind not working very well anymore, with illnesses and pains and aches which have brought him to death's door. Well, some of us, as we get older, are starting to feel some of those things. But it wasn't just then. David, earlier in his life, we read some of the Psalms where you realise that he's desperately ill. He's near death's door. People are whispering about him and they're expecting him to die. Well, David went through those kind of illnesses. And again, how did he survive through all those situations? God was his rock. God was his refuge. God was his strength. When you just list it out like that, it's amazing, isn't it, to actually think about all that David went through in one lifetime. I think most of us, if we had to just go through one of those situations in our lifetime, would think we had it hard. But look at what David went through. All those sufferings, all the complications, all the pains, all those dire situations. I mean, the life he lived, I think, would have killed most men long before David died. Now, can any of us, can you look me in the eye, look anyone else here in the eye, and seriously and truthfully say that the situation I'm in, the problems that I face, are worse than the ones that David went through? And if you can't say that, then you can't say that God can't help me. If David, living that life, going through all those situations, going through all that pain, can turn round at the end of it and say, through it all, the Lord was my rock, the Lord was my fortress, the Lord was my deliverer, my God in whom I take refuge. Well, surely we can say that for ourselves. Surely if the Lord could do that for David, then he can do that for us. You know, having the Lord as our refuge and strength, as our rock, doesn't mean that our problems disappear. That's not how it worked for David, was it? He had problems, and they were real problems, and he had to live through them. And some of them God delivered him from by taking away that situation. But many of them David had to suffer through. But what he found was in each of those situations that God gave him strength for that situation. God gave him the wisdom for that situation. God kept him from falling apart. God protected him from worse things that could have happened. So many ways that God delivered David. They were different each time, weren't they? And that's what our experience is going to be with God. And we don't know how the Lord will protect us and keep us any more than David did. But what we can say is what David says. Whatever we face, whatever difficulties, whatever problems, whatever pains, we have God as our God. And he is a place of safety. He's someone that we can trust completely. The Lord is a sufficient shield, a sufficient rock for us.